Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Long Beach, to another edition of Swoop's World right here at blogtalkradio.com. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings here in Long Beach. Our number, if you want to call in, is 917-889-7449. You can email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, you want to call in tonight, that number is 917-889-7449. Sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World. And welcome to Long Beach, and welcome all of Southern California. And we're back for another Wednesday night of Swoop's World. And this is two nights in a row. Peter, how's it going, man?
Pretty good.
Hey, we're happy to have tonight as our guest for the first part of our show, Star Parker, running for Congress in the 37th District against Laura Richardson. And we're going to be bringing her on in just a second. And we were cutting it to the wire trying to make that connection. I was dialing the wrong number at first, and then we made the connection. So she's on the line, and we're going to be bringing her on in just a second and give her an introduction. She's running for 37th District of for Congress here in the Long Beach, Compton, and Carson area, and she's president and founder of CURE. And some of you have seen her on a lot of different TV shows. She's been on CNN, CNBC, CBN, Fox News, BBC. She's debated Jesse Jackson, Larry King, fought for school choice at Larry King Live, debated Michael Moore, spoke on the Republican National Convention in 1996. She's written three books, Pimps, Whores, and Welfare Brats, Uncle Sam's Plantation, and White Gittle, How Middle-Class America Reflects Inner-City Decay. She's a syndicated columnist for a number of publications. So let's go ahead, without further ado, and go ahead and bring on Star Parker. And let's see which one right there. Star, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Keith Swoop. It's good to be with you and Peter and your audience.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, and we appreciate you coming on. You know, we always start with our guests. We always ask them, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what brought you to this point where you are today. Did you grow up locally, or you've been in the area a long time? And just give us a little bit of background.
Well, I've been in and out of the area for a long time, but I didn't grow up here. My dad was in the military, so I didn't grow up anywhere. And then after I finished high school, I came to California. And, you know, for the last 25 years, I've worked in public life. And so I've worked in Los Angeles County, Los Angeles City, and in Washington, D.C. And most people that know my story know that as a young woman, I was on welfare. And it was then after a Christian conversion that I was able to change my life. I completed college, and then I started a business. But after the 92 Los Angeles riots, that's when I began to work in public policy. And so I based my organization in Los Angeles for a long time, and then full time, and I would run back and forth across the country. And so about 4 years ago, I moved everything to Washington. I'd worked on welfare reform during the 90s, and I thought I'd never have to go inside the political apparatus. I thought I could be most effective on the outside, you know, working on market-based solutions to fight poverty. But things have changed, and things have changed for this community. And so that's the reason that I'm running for office, to challenge Laura Richardson, because this community really needs a strong leader, somebody that's steadfast and honest, and that will be honest with the community about what it takes to build prosperity for themselves and for their families.
You know, that's one of the questions a lot of people ask about a lot of people. Sometimes it sees a person who's active in the community can do a better job outside of the, you know, taking office and taking that step to run for office. What makes you think that actually working, running for office and going to Congress, you can do more than you can doing what you're doing now?
Well, you know, you're right. A lot of people stay on the outside and are very effective. In fact, one of my biggest heroes is Harriet Tubman, because during the last time we had a major moral question on the table, the question of slavery, we had various people doing various things. Benjamin Franklin was inside as an abolitionist and worked with abolitionists constantly to try to get legislation shaped to fight slavery. Well, Harriet Tubman, in the meantime, spent her time after escaping from the chains, went back and got others. And so I always thought that that would be my role, basically. I got out of welfare, I got out of the grip of government dependency, and I've spent quite a, well, years trying to assess poverty, fight poverty, whether it's legislatively on the outside and or helping people individually. But things have changed. Things have changed in the nation. You know, it's the country and the state of affairs are tenuous. I mean, we are deeply divided. We're at a crossroads similar to in the 1850s where we just can't keep going on against our core principles. And so actually the Republican Party came to me and asked me to consider coming home and looking at this seat. You know, Laura Richardson is not an effective leader for this community. We've watched under her watch unemployment rates soar up to 22% in some of the pockets of our community. This just can't go on. This community needs new ideas and new leadership, and what we've seen of the last 10 years that Richardson's been in elected office is nothing new. No ideas, no strategies, no discussion. So you can do it either way, stay on the outside, go on the inside. I'm very familiar with policy and the political process, but it's just now time to say, all right, let me see if I can go inside and do the work that I've dedicated my life to do.
Well, for those of our listeners and who maybe tune in for the first time, and this is all new, and there's an election coming, and wow, I didn't know that. What would be the difference, say, between you and Laura Richardson? Where would you say, you know, besides party affiliation, where's the difference, and what's going to make them want to vote for you?
Well, there is a party difference. We know that, but then there are different approaches to some of the challenges that are confronting us. This community deserves someone who's willing to help all of our neighbors understand that the answer to poverty is freedom and personal responsibility. It's not the dated welfare programs that Richardson supports. It's not bringing in other people's money and stimulus money, making folks wait until government comes up with some major plan. No, we have to get, first of all, for people to become more responsible with their lives, charity tax credits so that help will be local and personal for those that are really at risk. But for everybody else, we have to create an environment so that we can have great business here. And that's by removing obstacles that are standing in the way of getting schools that work. And what we've seen from politicians like Laura Richardson is someone that puts unions before parents time after time again. This community is someone who will fight these obstacles, because unions are putting a lot more obstacles in the way of parents and their choices, and the children are the ones that don't seem to then get the quality education they need to be competitive. We also need a leader who understands economics, because we're in a very difficult time right now as a nation, but particularly in this community. So you can use this type of understanding to help shape public policy, because we've got to attract business investment and entrepreneurs. And I not only have a degree in business, in international business and marketing, I run a business even today.
Well, when you talk about business, that's one of the things that a plane flew over and it always distracts us here because we're right next to the airport. One of the things that we find in the community, especially here in Long Beach, a lot of small businesses come and go. It seems to be that the small business entrepreneurs have a tough time surviving in various parts of Long Beach. And whether or not it's the economy or it's a lack of support from the city, are the people who live in the city. What do you see as an aspect of helping out those small businesses or those small entrepreneurs?
Yeah, well, it's a combination of both. The reason that you find business going in and out of communities and they can't seem to take a root is because when there's an instability in family life, and what we've seen too often in the 37th is not everybody doing their part. Doing their part means that understanding that they have an obligation to their neighbor to be self-sufficient and to be responsible with the choices that they make. And so when you have broken school and broken lives, you have high crime and random acts of violence. And this impacts business. And it impacts business because healthy families won't come into communities where they have high crime and broken schools. It all works together. So once we get people to understand their obligation, and then we can then attract more families who then demand better schools, which then brings in pillar stores like grocery stores and other larger types of employers, which then creates the environment for small businesses to be able to sustain. Most people who will put their lives on at risk and postpone gratification to run a small business are community people and want to stay in that community. They just like local things, but they have to be able to be healthy. They cannot peek out of the window to see if is that a customer or somebody coming to rob me. So one of the first things that we have to do is make sure that we bring our crime rates down. But how we do that is send strong messages out that people have to be responsible with their choices.
You know, having run small businesses in the area, one of the things that we find, and it kind of piggybacks on what you said, a lot of people in the area go elsewhere to shop. And I think a lot of that has to do probably with the perception of the crime rate in the area, that people actually live here, feel they're safer to go elsewhere. Like Peter and I were talking, even people that live in some of the better areas here will go to Newport Beach to pick up items or to shop. They'll leave areas like Bixby Knolls or leave areas like Cal Heights to go to Orange County to make purchases, where they have small business owners with boutique shops right in their own area.
Right. Well, people like convenience. You're absolutely right. In fact, I've lived in Orange County, so I know the business environment there, and it is at this point healthier than the one here, as you mentioned, in Bixby Knolls, where I now live, but it doesn't have to be. We can create that same type of environment. People like convenience, so they want to be able to go in one place, and if they don't have what I want, then I can go next door, and if they don't have what I want, then I can go next door. And so when you're talking about, let's say, clothing, we don't have that variety at this point, and so that's why it's going to take a little bit of time. But what we have to do first off is remove regulations and barriers that are standing in the way of larger employers coming in and then families that will be able to help a business community like that sustain itself. So our restaurants can do well, the dry cleaner, the local, you know, the things that you normally get locally or nail shops and others. But what you're talking about is a shopping environment, and I would welcome that as well. I mean, you mentioned Newport Beach. They have a Neiman's. And, in fact, when I met the mayor and his wife, I said, I want to get a Neiman's up here. There's no reason that we cannot be extremely healthy as a business community in 37th, because we sit between Los Angeles and Orange County. You know, there's a lot of money that's going from Disneyland to Universal Studios that passes right through our three freeways. We should be bursting with opportunity. But what this community needs is somebody that really cares about it, that's staying up at night thinking about it. And that is not what we have in our current congressional leader. And that's why I'm challenging her.
Well, looking at the congressional map and also, you know, living in Long Beach, we know that they are parts of the 37th district that has quite a bit of blight, areas that have had almost generations of blight now. How would you address that? How are we going to get these communities up on their feet?
Well, that's where we have to focus first. That, I think, is what the congressional leader should be focused on, that weakest link, what Dr. Luke said in 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, or the lost son. Because where life is healthy in as much parts of Long Beach, as you're mentioning, Carson is also in my district, and there's a lot of healthy living there. Compton is in my district, and there's some health there. Signal Hill, there's health. But where it's broken, it drags everybody else down. It drags the rest of our schools down. So when people are looking for a new community to move into, looking for a home and good schools, we don't get to attract them here. So we have to focus our time and attention on those districts, North Long Beach, the pockets where we see a dependency on government and broken family line. I've spent my life doing it, last 25 years, and that's another reason that I'm looking forward to representing the people of the 37th, so that I can focus just on these particular areas. You know, it's kind of like what Peggy Noonan said recently in an article in the Wall Street Journal. There are just too many people in the wagon now and not enough pulling it. We need to get people to understand they've got to get out of the wagon, that they're fate is not their destiny. What we've got to do is start sending strong messages into our youth that they have to participate and engage their own lives. And once they do that, it reduces the need for taxation and an aggressive taxation, and that means that it's going to help us build a healthy environment so that we can have a healthy economy.
Star, we have a couple of callers on the line. Are you ready to take some questions for some callers?
Yeah, I will, but there's one other thing I want to add because you were asking what can we do. There are some specific things we can do. I mentioned charity tax credits, but I also want to mention before you take a caller, we are sitting on two economic enterprise zones that are, the trigger has never been pulled. One is in Compton and one is in Long Beach.
Great. I'm sorry, I'm lost. I got a set of static. Are we still connected? We're good? Okay, good.
Okay.
Caller 426, you're on live with Star Parker.
Hi, my name is Tom, and Star, I'm a fan of yours. I read your blog. I read as much information on you as I could find. I met with your people that came to my door, and I stunned them by beaten into the punch that I was for you and is going to make sure that you get elected if you are who you I think you are, and because I don't know you. And I met with Patricia Evans and Evelyn Robertson, and they're two stand-up people who represent you well, and I haven't found anything wrong with you yet. We have to make it easier to do business in Long Beach.
Yeah.
We have to make it easier to do business in the state of California, which is what Jerry Bounds screwed up years ago.
Right.
And he drove manufacturing out of the state.
Right.
And we have to make it easier for somebody to be in business, start up business, and stay in business.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how many
things
you can mention,
Tom,
but that's the heart of it.
Well, I think a lot of people are starting to realize that are not only in business, that are also in government, and many that are running for political office this term. This economic downturn was a wake-up call to most, including those that are participating in unions that would normally promote ideas like cap and trade. They're beginning to understand that these dated models are not going to take us well into the 21st century. We are now a global economy and a mobile society, and so we have to start thinking about new ideas and have to get new vision. We can't keep insisting that we are going to take models of how we've been doing education, how we've been excessively taxing and regulating our business. We have to just start working together to find new types of technologies and ideas that will stimulate our economy. That's how we're going to then get business back here. But it also connects to family life. What's wrong and what is broken in our community, we have a disproportionate part of North Long Beach in the 37th and in downtown area as well as in the Compton area that are dragging the district because it then becomes unsafe. And so business won't come in if family's not here, and family won't come in if it's not safe and if they don't have quality schools. So it all works together, and we need to work on all of it together.
I agree. There's going to take a lot of volunteering because the city government isn't going to change it. So it's going to take a lot of volunteer effort to make that happen in the family level.
Well, it will, but not necessarily. You can shape public policy. Remember, Dr. Martin Luther King said you can't regulate. He said you can't legislate morality, but you can regulate behavior, and you do that through having public policy that demands for people to do their best. So when we create an environment where people understand they have a responsibility and that people are not going to just keep going in their pocket and redistributing so that they can do anything that they want to, then they start to take seriously their lives and they'll take seriously the studies in front of them. But what's happened with our schools is they're not competitive. They don't have a competitive edge on them because there are no choices. Parents are forced to send their kids to even the broken schools. You look at Carson. Carson students are forced into an LAUSD system. Well, there's something fundamentally wrong with that because if they have a beef, they have to go all the way downtown LA. It could take them 2 hours. So what we have to do is just start thinking a little bit more creatively about how we are going to get more family. But charity tax credits would help because what a charity tax credit does means that people can give dollar for dollar to their local charities and write it straight off of their federal obligation without, you know, first going to Washington, then coming to the state, and then coming to the county, then to the city, and then 20 cents on a dollar actually reaches the household. What we can do is build our charity so that they will be there to help those that are in need, help those that, and the reason you want it private too is so that people will engage their lives, because somebody that's free will be talking to them about what's broken, not this one-size-fits-all government approach that we've had for the last 50 years.
Hey, thanks, Tom. We got a couple more people who want to get some questions in, so we're going to go to the 313. 313, you're on the air.
Hi, Star. I wanted to ask you about, you know, there's a perception problem also with the district of cities that you're looking at. I did outside sales for a while, and I did a lot of business in Compton. I've done a lot of business in most areas, and now I own a local business. And, you know, we have people, I was actually having somebody tell me last night that they were, you know, they were up in L.A. doing something, and they said, you live in Long Beach? I don't go past the freeway. You know, there's a definite feeling in these communities where, you know, people have this perception that Long Beach is full of gang violence, but yet, you know, it's not.
It's healthy. No, you're absolutely right.
Absolutely wonderful. And I think that there needs to be a paradigm change in the fact that we need to start promoting these areas as healthy areas to be. How do you feel about that?
I agree with you 100%. In fact, it's one of the most diverse communities in the world. And when I found out that we have the largest American Samoan community in the whole world, even larger than Samoa, we have Cambodian, we have Philippines, we're just so diverse that this should be an attraction, a major attraction from all over the world for tourism and other things. But you're absolutely right. There are perceptions, especially you hear Compton, and most people take their ball and bat and go home. And I'm just really fascinated that the mayor of Compton recently was in China and was able to negotiate for China to bring two businesses to that area. So it's just going to take some work. It's going to take some thought. And this is the reason that I'm running, because people are not thinking about it. There are many that are in government because it's a job, and they're not thinking that I can really make a difference and make our area brilliant. The perception, though, there is some truth to it riding across, like, the 91 and the 105, because right when you get to our district, there's trash all over the freeway. And when you see trash, people understand that means we have a tragedy of the commons. And what a tragedy of the commons is that no one owns it, so no one takes care of it. And this is what happens when you have big government engagement in people's lives. It's one of the downfalls of Laura Richardson. All she does is promote more government, more government, more government. Well, addiction to government, nobody owns. So nobody owns, so nobody takes care. And so when you see trash, people automatically think that this is not going to be safe. So we're going to have to, you know, get some cleanup crews together. Someone mentioned volunteers. Get some cleanup crews together. Build incentives for business that they will make sure that they clean up. And we start taking a sense of pride and ownership once again in our community so that we can get rid of that perception, so that we can attract from all over the world people to come visit us.
Thank you, 313. We got another caller on the line, and 438, you're on the air with Star Parker.
Hi, Star. This is Dano from Long Beach. Thanks for being on the call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I truly hope we can send you to D.C. and get Laura Richardson out of there.
Yeah.
But my question to you is, assuming you do get there, what would be top three most critical legislative agenda items that you think need to be addressed?
Well, the first thing that needs to be addressed is welfare reform and getting charity tax credits, because we have to stop the hemorrhaging. We really are at now 22% unemployment rates in some of our neighborhoods, and even good people get desperate with these types of unemployment rates. And so what's happened is there's pressure now put on our shelters and many of our private distribution centers, because they have less revenues, you know, with the downturn in the economy, but yet they have twice the people coming in for need, whether it's, you know, housing, or whether it's they're just getting on drugs or whatever. So we have to do that. That's immediate work, and I think I can immediately get something done there, since welfare reform is already law. You can just amend it to it and or go through Health and Human Services and focus on the time and attention. The next thing we need to do is look at our schools and try to fight the obstacles that are standing in a way to getting them fixed. And, you know, Laura Richardson, what's interesting is that President Barack Obama developed out this race to the top to try to be a little bit more creative in education, or allow the states to be a little bit more creative by rewarding them with extra grants if they would think out of the box, you know, get some more charters, do some more things with the schools that are broken. And Laura Richardson was part of that Democrat establishment that voted against it. I mean, my goodness, we need, and then California, of course, didn't get one, and then that meant Long Beach didn't get one, even though they finally put it back in the bill after the president demanded it to go back in there. We do have to get more school options available so that we can have a competitive educational environment. And then the third thing that I would do is really look at labor law, because we have a hemorrhaging going on when it comes to our illegal population. We have people being now displaced, if you will, and not mainstreaming those that are here. So labor law is creating a pull for workers that are not in the system, and we have to address this. And so minimum wage hurts us. Davis-Bacon, when you think about some of the labor law that are attached to what the union has demanded over the last 50 years, it's just not going to work any longer. So we'll have to start peeling away so that young people can enter the workforce and then work hard and work their way up. Those are just some of the immediate things. It's hard to promise you're 435 people in there, and it's hard to say, I know that I'm going to do this when I get to Congress. No, the biggest deal is you don't need to know you have somebody you can trust that's going to stay up at night thinking about how they're going to revitalize this area so that we can all have better neighborhoods.
Thank you, Daniel, for calling in. Star, I know you have a town hall coming up next week, I believe. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, what I've wanted to do is introduce myself. I've spent a lot of time out of the community, working in various communities across this country on issues as we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes, and then, of course, working in Washington, D.C. So I want to introduce myself. I want people to know that, yes, I'm real, and yes, I'm willing to answer questions, tell them a little bit about myself. And so we had a very successful one in Carson, and now we have the Long Beach coming up on Monday the 4th at the Petroleum Club. We'll be there from 7 to 9 o'clock. I'll present for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so, and then I'll open up the microphones for Q&A so that people can see if they like me. If they like me and feel that I can be a good leader for them, I'd want them to then go tell their friends, take signs, and pass the word. Toward the end of the month, we'll have one final town hall, and that will be in the city of Compton.
Excellent. I know you were scheduled for 30 minutes. We're about run out of time. Is there anything that you wanted to get out there that we didn't cover tonight that you'd like to get out there to the constituents that are on the air, on the line?
Well, I just so appreciate this opportunity. I thought I was going to do it on First Friday, but I ended up with a bunch of people, and we got kind of loud in that restaurant we were in. I'm so glad for this opportunity. So the only thing I would want them to know is that I understand firsthand some of the despair and the meaninglessness that comes from government dependency, because I once lived on welfare. And then I also understand what it takes to build prosperity for our families and for our communities, because for the last 20 years I've run a business that has focused on these very things. So if people will, on November 2nd, vote for me, then they're voting for new leadership with new ideas and a new vision, and I think that I can help us build a community and a future and some prosperity together.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and we're really happy that you took the time out tonight to join us, and best of luck to you, and I hope to see you around. We have the website listed on the chat line, anybody in the chat line, and we'll get it up on it is up on SwoopsWorld.com, so go to SwoopsWorld.com. If you need to get a hold of Laura Richardson's website, it's on the chat line, but it's also Star Parker for Congress.com. You can check it out there. And Star, thanks a lot. And
welcome. And if you see me around, you tap me now. I'm the one with the braids. You can't miss me. I won't know you, but you'll see me.
I'm the one with the braids too. So
you are. Whether you tap me and say hey, and then I can say hey too.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much. And
you're
best
welcome.
Of luck to you. And we'll see you soon.
Best of luck.
Bye. Oh, thank you, Peter. Bye.
Well, you listen to the Swoops Road on BroadcockRadio.com, and